Let's Talk here with Alan T this Monday morning. A nice bright day where we are looking out the window. It is rather nice, I have to say. Now, if you're somebody on the run, if you've done something you shouldn't have done, you're trying to sort of actually disappear, it isn't that easy. Because I tell you, it's not that easy. Well, apparently, roughly 10% of all murders in the UK go unsolved, though. Now, in Britain's top ex-undercover cop shines new light on cases up and down the country in search of answers. We're talking with Peter Blexley. His life has been devoted to investigating. As an undercover detective for the Metropolitan Police, and his ability to get to the bottom of a case was legendary, as he dealt with some of the world's most feared criminals. It's my pleasure to welcome on the programme this morning. Good day to you, Peter.
Good morning.
Now, Peter, fascinating reading. As you mentioned there about people trying to think they can go on the run, how difficult it is into modern-day society, but we can get onto that in a minute. But let's have a little bit of background about your success rate as well as an undercover policeman.
Well, when I was a young detective, I worked on a number of murder cases, and we were fortunate enough to solve them all. But then when I sort of left the police and moved into working in the media, into writing and the like, I became very interested in the amount of unsolved murders that there actually were, because I felt in the 21st century, with mobile phone technology, the advances of forensic science and DNA, for example, and CCTV, which are really the modern tools by which detectives so often solve crimes these days, I was thinking, with all these things available to them, surely it must be virtually impossible to commit a murder and get away with it.
Right.
But sadly, it isn't.
So you're basically old school. You used all the old techniques. You know, you used to have to, if you want to make a phone call, you have to find a phone box, didn't you? That sort of thing.
Absolutely. And when I've gone out onto the streets to research these cases for my book On the Run, what I've been armed with, really, is very old school, as you say, a notebook, a pen, and my phone. But of course, these days, I carry a business card rather than a warrant card, and I found that sometimes I could get further with the business card than I ever did when I previously had a warrant card stuck in my back pocket.
That is so interesting. I can see the point you're making here. Now, you've been involved in a program called Hunted, on television, yes?
Yes, indeed. Yes, I'm the chief of the hunters on that show.
You're the chief hunter. Yes, it's Channel 4 we're talking about, by the way, listeners.
Yes.
And it obviously, as you say in some of the comments there about the programme and what you've learned, working in that sort of environment in the media, and as you say, with all the technology advances have been made in DNA and forensics and obviously, of course, with communication, CCTV. United Kingdom is the most CCTV sort of country, they reckon, in the world almost, aren't they, in terms of you can't walk down a street without being sort of captured on a camera at least one or twice, probably 12 times.
Well, absolutely. In fact, if you were to walk around London for the day, then in all likelihood you will be captured on CCTV many hundreds of times. Of course, there isn't blanket coverage of CCTV throughout the UK. Some towns and villages might only have a smattering or so, but of course it is being rolled out more and more as we speak. And consequently, when you couple that with forensic science, which moves forward almost every day, there are new discoveries and advancements, you'd think, how could people commit murder and get away with it? But sadly, they do. And then when I work on Hunted, it's a great journey for me because, of course, we're utilising all the modern techniques to replicate the powers of the state as we try to track down the members of the public that have volunteered to become fugitives and have gone on the run. Mm. But I'm very pleased to say the final episode of Series 3 went out last week, and it's proved to be a hugely popular show.
Well, of course, I mean, the Crime Watch series on the BBC for many, many years, I mean, had massive ratings, and obviously sort of it also put on reconstructions, didn't it, of crimes. Now, obviously, this is interesting here to see that in your days, in your time as this investigator, your success rate in solving murders was 100%. And obviously, it sounds as though it was quite a shock when you realised that about 10% of murders never get resolved. And do you think that obviously the methods that you used in your day proved far more... Obviously, it seems to me that they proved more successful. Even today's technology, mobile phones, you turn a phone on, you're tracked instantly. And of course, people tend to sort of think of family. Most people get caught, I would think, on the run. Because they can't get away from calling their girlfriend or their wives, or they want to speak to the kiddies and this kind of thing. Is that what really gets them most of the time?
Well, for fugitives, yes, the lure of home can often be very, very strong, and they do sometimes reach out and connect with those ones that they've left behind, and that, of course, can be their Achilles heel. But I have found it fascinating about these unsolved murders, because there was an article published not so long ago in a national newspaper which was suggesting that the unsolved murder rate might be as high as 25%.
My goodness.
Now, that is staggering. Why is that happening? You know, so that, of course, is really my passion, which is what drives me to get out there, wear out the shoe leather by shoving leaflets through people's doors, connecting with as many people as I possibly can, and trying to get information into the public domain that might move these investigations forward. And on one case, I was fortunate enough to be given the name of somebody that I and others strongly suspected of committing a murder, and I confronted him in a pub car park and said, "You shot him, didn't you?"
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Do you think, and I'm probably just a slightly political point here, you were able to sort of have 100% success rate in the old school way, in the way you get the old work on the shoe leather, knock on doors, etc., etc., didn't have all these incredible technological advances to sort of deal with. Do you think it's probably down to resources in the police force today? The cutbacks, making it more difficult to actually have officers actually actively sort of searching for people. Maybe they have an open case, an open murder case, and they're not getting anywhere, and they just sort of put it at the back of the pile, and it gets forgotten because of these resources problems. Do you think that's probably got a lot to do with it?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons why so many cases are going unsolved. I think that some villains have a degree of forensic awareness, and let's face it, we're talking about the CSI generation,
yeah,
aren't we?
People silent witness up as well.
Exactly, watching all this stuff on TV,
sure,
and learning from it and realising, okay, well, I might need to do this or I might need to do that if I'm to not leave a trace behind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, in some of the cases, there is, unfortunately, still that wall of silence that exists. I think often police officers know who's committed a murder, but they can't prove it.
Yeah.
And, of course, there is an enormous gulf between knowing something and proving it.
Mm-hmm.
And so often that is, I believe, down to the wall of silence. And in these cases, I try and dismantle that wall brick by brick.
Indeed. And you sort of made that point there about the awareness, or the awareness of forensic science today. But in most cases, I mean, that would be with premeditated murders, wouldn't it? I mean, it's something that happens on the spur of the moment. I think that are more sort of domestic killings or even kind of passion killings, are they more likely to be solved than the ones that are premeditated? It sounds to me like they would.
There's really no hard and fast rule that you can apply. Of course, the overwhelming majority of murderers are known to their victims. And that brings me back to the whole thing about the wall of silence, where the police often desperately need a witness, and that person is reluctant to come forward. So I've kind of, to a certain extent, I've tried to bridge that gap by reaching out to people, engaging with people. I'm a lot less constrained than a police officer would be.
That was when I asked you that question, yes.
Yeah, have a business card, can travel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not answerable to anybody apart from my publisher when I submit a manuscript, so I can perhaps go where they wouldn't go. I also listen to the gossip, the theories and the rumours, because I think that rumour is often truth's lubricant. And sometimes, perhaps, I think the police are under such constraints now and so many pressures that they don't have the freedom that I have. I, for example... I'm currently writing a book on an unsolved murder in Scotland. And on each and every time I travel to Scotland, in the evenings, if my work is done, then I prop myself up at a bar and have a drink and let everybody know who I am. I try and get the word spread around town that I'm in town, I'm researching this case, I'm willing to speak to everybody, and I try to make myself approachable. And that actually gets results.
Isn't that fascinating? Because as you say there, I mean, I think probably another problem is the lack of respect for the police force these days, isn't it?
Well, policing is an incredibly challenging job. And if you look at the statistics about the number of police officers that are getting assaulted on duty,
Yeah. It's
absolutely epidemic proportions, and something really needs to be done. I think that's probably an entirely different conversation upon which we could spend an hour or more talking about that.
Yes, I suppose it's one of the situations that exists today. I mean, police have to be far more cautious of how they behave. I mean, crikey, when I was a kid, you know, if you did something and the policeman came up to you and the bobby said, "Oi, what do you think you're up to?" and gave you a clip round the ear. I mean, to do that today, he's lost his job, hasn't he?
Of course, policing and society has changed considerably since my day when I joined the cops. You know, in my day, it was generally speaking, it was cops and robbers, good guys and bad guys.
Yeah.
And it was a lot more simplistic than the challenge that it is today. And I think they have to deal with all of society's ills on shrinking budgets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think policing is creaking at the seams in many regards, to be perfectly frank with you. But, you know, I get out there, I try to do what I can. I research these unsolved murders. I get names. I get names of people that are regarded by many people as being responsible for these crimes. And I will be knocking on doors. And if people want to buy On the Run and read it and enjoy it, if they've got any interest in crime, unsolved murder, the criminal justice system, all of that, it's a book for them. But if they happen to know something, no matter how far away they may live from the scene of the crime, it really doesn't matter, then my contact details are available in the book. I'm always contactable, and I'm always passionate about trying to get these crimes solved.
Nice plug there, Peter. Well done. I was going to do it for you, but I think you made the point. The book is called On the Run. Peter Lexley, his 100% record of unsolved murders. Of course, as you're saying there now, he's no longer in the police force, but he actually is still very, very active in solving crimes. You can find out more about the book. You can go to tre.radio, where we've got the book page, where you can get the book, and, of course, also through sort of other sites as well, but that will take you to where you can buy it. No problem at all. Peter, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. Fascinating subject indeed. As I say, I was looking at some of the comments about the book, and it seems to have been well received. And of course, the thing is, your TV show as well, and that's always going to lift your profile quite considerably, isn't it, in today's sort of TV and media sort of social society that we live in. You obviously sort of learned how to use that modern media way of actually getting in touch with people and being heard and being listened to. And it's you're the sort of people that we do need, you know, a retired policeman who's carried on, you know, doing this work and do it with great effect. I have to say, congratulations to you.
Well, thank you. And yes, I do use social media a lot. I'm easy to find on Twitter and Facebook, and I'm always posting about my journeys to the places where these crimes have been committed. And so often, because I'm easily contactable, because my name, my profile and my details are out there, it's astonishing how many people get in touch via all the different ways, email, phone, social media, all of that. Mm. So many people who I'm deeply grateful to get in contact and they say, "Peter, did you know this?" And I say, "No, please tell me all."
Excellent stuff. So your Twitter handle is what, Peter?
Peter Blexley, plain and simple, at Peter Blexley. BLEKSLEY.
Yep.
Likewise for Facebook. I'm out there. I'm easily contactable and only too happy to talk.
Well, I wish you a lot of success with the book, of course, and continue sort of solving those murders and crimes which seem to be sort of falling through the net to a certain degree.
Well, yes. Yes, they do. And in this day and age, you know, I think any additional resources that can be applied to these cases, in other words, me, can only be a good thing.
Absolutely. Peter, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. Thanks so much indeed, and good luck with the book, and obviously those next sort of cases you solve with the assistance of your television show, and of course also through people reading your book and maybe saying, may have something I can sort of pass on to Peter.
Indeed, thank you very much. And even if they don't, I hope they'll find it an engaging and interesting book.
Excellent. Peter Bexley, thank you very much indeed for talking to us today. Take care. Bye for now.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.